Welcome to From the Horse's Mouth, the official podcast of Providence Day School, bringing you spirited, informative, and entertaining conversations from the global PD community. Now here's our host, a familiar face and a voice on the PDS campus, world language teacher Jay Barron.
Hello, friends, and welcome to From the Horse's Mouth.
Oh,
I'm so happy.
It is
true.
Are you the horse?
What we're at. You get to be the horse today, Lee.
I'm the front.
As do you,
I'm
Lee,
the front.
And you, Lee.
All right.
Guess what? Today, we're talking with three Lees. And there's actually a fourth in the room, so we'll see how that goes. The original concept of the show was going to be three Glens, but we couldn't quite pull that together. So we decided to go with you folks for a variety of reasons. The first is, you represent lower school, middle school, upper school. I guess that's the second, because the first is the Lee thing. Full disclosure, only one of you is actually named Lee.
What?
But we'll get to that at a certain point, right? Right, Leland?
Correct. Correct.
Ooh.
That is
true. Oh, fancy.
Right, Brandon?
Well, Lee is my middle name. I didn't just randomly pick Lee out of the, you know, out of nowhere.
It's a quality name.
It is. Oh. But I'm Brandon Lee. Yeah.
But it could get confusing, so we'll see how this goes. You might be Brandon by halfway through.
That's fine.
But just wanted to ask you guys to come in to talk about Providence Day, because we have a long time that we have been here. Each of you has been integrally important to this campus in your own way, and I just want to hear some of your stories. And so, Lee Cook,
yeah,
welcome to From the Horse's Mouth.
Thanks.
How
Thank
are you?
You? I'm fabulous.
As a lower school teacher, you have seen so many children grow up. You have taught so many children at this campus. Talk to me a little bit about that. Just watching the kids come to you and then move on and where they go.
Well, what's really fun, I think, is I'm just thinking about like graduation, how you see kids that you had. I used to teach fifth grade. Mm-hmm. So I taught fifth grade, graduated, and I feel very lucky to have my job here. I don't think they hire people that are just fresh out of college anymore, but I was only a year out and got my job here, and so I've seen a few graduating classes now.
Sure,
but it's
sure.
really fun to see them like still on the same campus, because they love to come back and see you, and just how they've grown into, you know, adults, semi-adults by the time they graduate, and it's just really fun to see who they've become and like all their accomplishments, and you feel like you're a part of that. And you know, it's been many years since you were a part of it, but I feel like they kind of start with us, and so once they get to middle and upper, they kind of take the reins and just take them, you know, the last few steps. So it's
and they are still happy to see you.
They are still happy.
That's just a good sign.
And I love it, because if they don't speak to me, then I'm like, I speak to them anyway.
Excellent.
But I think they're glad, because once they hit like middle school, they don't know if it's cool to say hey to you or not. But once you speak to them, they are like, oh, hey, how are you doing? And then it kind of opens that up for later when you run into them again. So,
and that actually makes me think of the TK circus, of all the things that we do here, and how many of the older students love to go back and see that. And they do like reconnecting with lower school. All right, so then we slide up into middle school. Mr. Lee Tappy.
Yes.
Talk to me a little bit about being a PD grad and a PD dad and a dean. You've worn all the hats here, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's proof that I have very little skill set anywhere else in the city or in the country, even. I belong nowhere else but here.
So that's two Lees in a row that feel lucky to have their jobs.
Yes.
Just to be clear.
I think shocked might be
more from probably not being fired. I mean,
right. Yes, exactly. Shocked to still be here. But it's, you know, it's really neat. I think as soon as I had a couple of teachers in upper school and knew that I wanted to be a teacher, immediately it was the dream to come back here. And I think it was just, I knew that if I could teach at the place where these great people had influenced me, then to me, that's like making it big. And so it's neat to be here as a teacher. And then as a parent, it's strange, because this year is, my kids are in fourth grade, and one of them is with Lee Cook, and I had fourth grade in that room myself. And so I remember that experience really clearly. So this is the first year where I kind of really connect with where they are with their age and everything. So that's a lot of fun. And then
And I also feel that as a father here, is this idea of, you know, our colleagues are now teaching our children and
right.
these cycles that
exactly
seem to keep looping.
We're yes.
on a loop, right?
Yeah.
Let me go up to you, Lee Taylor. All right. So now as the dad of a senior, who, by the way, was that. On the homecoming court and everything, right?
Yeah, yeah.
She Lee, was. I don't think anybody's worn more hats here than you have. Dr. Biscuits being the most famous of your hats. So what's your favorite hat to wear here, Lee?
Well, you know, the construction hat was, you know, when safety was first. Well, I guess safety still is first.
It's still first.
I mean? Yeah, big.
But when we were, like, fully under construction, I felt like I really needed to go as T. Lehler, you know, as the with the construction hat on. Now I think I'm fully embracing Dr. Biscuits. I think that could be the best of the hats. Although there was a point in time where I did a few pep rallies with a red cowboy hat.
Oh, yeah.
The red cowboy hat started, I don't know what happened to it, if it got wet, but it I couldn't put it on my head anymore. It didn't fit. Like it felt like it was a fifth grader's hat. So I had to
was.
Just scrap.
Well, I feel like it was.
Maybe what was happening is, as I took on more of these roles, my head was getting bigger, and therefore I couldn't fit in the hat anymore. So,
self-awareness is a beautiful thing. Yeah. I'm glad you got to that point, finally. Hey, how about this question? Tell me something about PD that you have learned from your children.
I'll jump in, because I learned that I owe it to my kids to let them have their experience without me interfering. When my daughter was in TK, she was kind of trying to find her way as an individual, and she got pushy on the TK playground one day, and was asked to go. She'll kill me for saying this, but was asked to go home for the day, which to me was like the equivalent in lower school of being expelled yeah. as an upper schooler, right? And so
in TK, no less.
Yeah, exactly. And I asked her, you know, like, why did you push this other child? And she was like, Daddy, I asked her to get off the balance beam. I mean, you know, I asked.
I followed protocol.
Right.
Yeah. As give her I
understood she didn't it. Follow direction. So when that happened, I remember kind of everything inside of me wanting to go and be like, no, this is a terrible decision. She's going to get to go home and spend time with her mom, and this is going to be awful. And it was completely the opposite. And I don't know, it was a valuable lesson early on to sort of say, let the school do what the school does and let it happen. And it ended up being kind of a turning point for her, and I think a great experience for me to just trust where we are. And
you too can always share your getting punished at PD stories.
Yes, and all of them are fiction.
What have you learned from your kids? Yeah, Lee.
Well, and this is a recent, I guess, lesson. So I have an eighth grader this year, and I guess when it comes to my girls, you know, Mama Bear can come out sometimes. And, you know, you just want to protect them and make sure that, you know, things are going all right. And I still have a lower schooler, so I can still do the Mama Bear thing with her. But my middle schooler, something happened where I think I was wanting to reach out to the teacher. But she said, Mama, I got it. She said, I need to be the one to talk to her. And I was thinking, oh, my God, like, you don't need me anymore. Mm. And that's how I went to her a couple times. So I was like, are you sure you don't want me? And she was like, no, I got it. She said, I need to be the one to, you know, to talk to her. So,
congratulations.
Yeah, I felt a little useless, but I was thinking, she's growing up.
Yep.
And, you know, she's really independent. And I think that's what the school has taught her, too. She's super confident. She's, you know, growing up to be an independent girl. She's a strong girl. I'm all about the girl power. She's learned that. And I loved seeing her telling me, hey, I got it.
That's great.
That you don't need to do that for me. So maybe sad, but then also maybe really proud too.
Lee Taylor, I assume that what you've learned from your children is just to loosen up and have a sense of humor.
Yeah, I continue to work on that. That's it's like my MFE every year. I think what I've learned probably the most has been since they've been in upper school, kind of at least my older two are in upper school now, 12th and 10th, and both of them are heavily involved in extracurricular things. and the volume of work that they get while they have to manage being in a play, running track, going to Ravenscroft for a track meet. Sometimes I've had to like pull the dad card and go, you got to go to bed, talk to your teacher. You're not getting that work done. I don't want you staying up till 11:30, 12, 12:30. And that's been hard to see. Fortunately my kids are conscientious workers and they want to get it done, but it's like, and I want them to get it done as their teacher, but at the same time, it's like, you got to get your rest. You can't, you know, keep pushing yourself, you know, out at practice or, you know, into play practice and be getting no sleep at all. So it's been sort of a neat, you know, kind of the balance beam. I haven't been pushed off of it yet, but to try to get the kids to say, hey, I got to get my work done, but I also got to watch my mental and physical health.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, let's move on to some very important questions. This is the lightning round. Are you prepared?
Oh, lightning round.
All right. It's the end of the day. Keep that in mind.
There we go. Understood. Okay.
I'm number two.
Let's go clockwise on this first one. All right, Mr. Tapp, you ready?
All right.
Enchiladas or bang bang?
Oh, enchiladas. Easy.
Oh, enchiladas, I help roll them. Dr. Biscuits is one of the rollers of the enchiladas.
You have to plug your contribution to the enchiladas.
That's
you
right.
You can't just let the
enchiladas.
Okay, oh, enchiladas, fine. Hands down.
So, Dr. Biscuits, why don't they do bang bang enchiladas?
Let me run that by Chef Darrell, and maybe we can get that on the menu.
We'll see what we can come up with there. Question number two, let's start with you this time, Mr. Taylor. Continue to go clockwise. If money were no object, what would we build in the West Wing graveyard?
Ooh, golly. That is a, I'd probably say swimming pool.
There it is. There it is.
I'm going to be selfish. A brand new 3-story lower school building with a slide down to the playground.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
And a zip line somewhere.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking swimming pool too. But I don't know. I might go like student union. The entire building that's just solely student focused for, you know, hanging out and taking it easy and
that sounds great.
And you'd be the number one supervisor point
negative
person.
Negative. That's part of what comes with it. Yeah.
Being able to designate that
fully supervised student union.
Yeah.
Favorite dress code violation. Favorite dress code violation. Let's start with the administrator on this one, Joe.
Oh my gosh. My favorite dress code violation is when they complain about having to wear a collared shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was here, it wasn't just a collared shirt. It was a button-down shirt, and it had to be tucked in.
Yes.
And so I just think that no matter what the dress code is, there's going to be complaints. And you could make it as laid back and easy as you want to, and it's still going to stink for somebody.
It's the shoe one. I can't keep up with the shoes. What, the Jolly Rogers are okay, but the
Birkenstocks.
The Birkenstocks are okay, but no, not the Crocs or, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, I guess if you have shoes on, that should be okay. And just the barefoot would be the no dice.
I take pity on the boys, I have to say, dress code wise. Seems to be pretty, and I don't even have boys, you know, but I think it's a lot more lenient for the girls versus the boys because they have to do the college shirt, and then there's only really a certain kind of shorts that they can wear, and then the girls, you see, they're kind of just rocking whatever the latest trend or, you know, fashion pieces. So, yeah, I kind of feel sorry for the boys.
Next question. When the great Bobby Hinson retired, the school installed a kinetic DNA sculpture outside of the Dixon Hemby. All three of you obviously merit some sort of permanent installation here on campus after you retire. So I'm just curious to know what you would like to have installed in your honor on campus when that day comes, when you do finally retire from Providence Day. Now, you've already mentioned the slide, Lee, so maybe, you know.
Well, I do have a patio, you know, over there, the new building. Gosh, something else?
We're going life-size bronze sculpture or...
That's really a hard one.
I would say... I
have stumped the panel.
Yeah.
I win.
I would like for there to just be a broken iPad. in memory of me.
No,
the amount of work that thing has created for me. Yeah,
What about the lost book bag?
A lost black North Face book bag.
Yeah.
With no identifiers on it
right.
at all.
Yeah.
I think for me, probably either a giant microphone or a giant chicken biscuit. Not that I eat the chicken biscuit. It's all about the serving of the chicken biscuit.
Okay.
Fair enough.
All right. Now I'm a little bit OCD.
Well, you already have a patio.
Well, no, so I might want, but okay, on my patio, I would like a nice big like gold clock because I love like to be on time and punctual, and I'm kind of, you know, that way. So, yeah. That'd be nice.
Remember, that was a good thing for Carson when he had you in
class. I had Carson, I'm always like, TikTok, let's go.
I need to send it back to you.
You taught Carson to tell time?
No, I just had him.
Very good.
Can he tell time?
He's forgotten how to tell time.
Oh, okay. All right.
I just want to wrap up our conversation, which has been a lot of fun. Thank you very much. Talking a little bit about this idea of family. And you, in particular, you mentioned family in your bio.
Yeah.
And I think most schools, it's fair to say, like to use the word family, and at a lot of places, frankly, it's a cliche, maybe everywhere. Tell me why it's not a cliche at Providence Day. Maybe just reflect a little bit about what that word family means for you here at PD.
Are we start?
Go for it.
Okay. I feel like I feel like I've grown up at this school. Like I didn't go here, but you know, just a year after college, I was here. I wasn't married yet, you know, no kids or anything. And so I feel like I've grown up here. And people that have been here for a long time, even like you mentioned Bobby Henson. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember people that had been here a long time before I got here, you know, were just so welcoming. And then I remember I taught summer school with Lee and Randy. And got my little nickname, Smarty P. That was always fun. But just to like develop relationships with all these different people. And then I got married and had my girls. And now this is all they know. I mean, they've been here since TK. And I hear them say it. My girls have been friends with the same people. Like Marin is still friends with some same girls she's been friends with since TK. And it's just family, and it's the same girls that keep coming, you know, to our house. And now I've got, you know, had Carson, and now I've got Izzy, and it's just like it's one big family, you know. And I feel like I could depend on any of these people in, you know, lower school, middle school, upper school. If the need was there, I know that I could call on any of them at any time.
Lee Taylor, what do you think?
I think a lot, probably echo a lot of the things that Lee just said. Mm-hmm. I just think it's cool when you got people like Tappy here. And I mean, I think I announced it at the pep rally the other day. There's 31 faculty and staff members that are graduates of PDS. I mean,
that
doesn't say what this place is all about. And when they bring stories like from way back when, and there's still some of the same people that are here, and you can laugh about them, and I think that's one element to it. I think when, like, we all have kids here and they've been taught by so many of our colleagues, and our colleagues are all still here too. I mean, a lot of them. So, you know, they're seeing your kids at great moments and at terrible moments. And, you know, just the fact that we can all sort of relate to those feelings as parents, as teachers, in combination. I mean, I think it's just an extraordinary place in that way. And to have seen like our kids, I mean, you know, here's Cameron, a senior, and like I can close my eyes and remember her and Vicky Hovis' TK class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, and then I've got all of these other people that have also been part of that experience of her starting then and now getting to a place where we're about to, you know, shove her out of here. And it's just kind of neat that we have all those shared experiences.
Absolutely.
I mean, with each other's kids. I think that really makes it neat.
Senor Tappy.
Yeah, I feel all that stuff. And I think that we have the unique experience of actually having our family here. I mean, because we're faculty members and get to have our kids on campus. So in that way, it's literal. But to me, it's so much more because of the characters that are on this campus. And so just like family, You know, it's made up of a whole lot of different types of people, types of personalities, and I just feel like everybody appreciates everyone's uniqueness here in so many ways.
So we are going to talk about Bricksmith.
Well, or Crazy Uncle Jeff, like, Crazy Uncle Jeff Lucia.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. I mean,
yeah. For me, the really strange uncle that nobody really is sure how to take is Bricksmith. And I remember when I interviewed here, the welcoming arms of a family where I saw him for the first time and he was like, "Why are you here, Tappy?" You know? And so I think everybody has the family that they portray out on social media, and Marcom does that for us here, but behind the scenes it is a real family. It's messy sometimes. We can laugh together, we can be honest with each other about the struggles that we're facing and all of that, and know that you have people who are here for you. And so to me, that's the best part, is we're at work so much more than we are at home,
right?
That you really, it does become
great
a
point.
Second home for
that's
sure.
A great point.
Yeah. How many of you actually do have a Costanza bed under your desk? You just stay here at night.
I have a couch now.
Lee Taylor is raising his hand.
We moved a few years ago, so we're only 2 minutes away.
Yeah,
so
you're
I'm good.
Close.
Happiness is a short commute. No doubt about
yes.
it.
Yes,
definitely.
Thanks for chatting, guys. That was fun.
Yeah. Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you for joining us today to hear it all straight from the horse's mouth, our spirited official school podcast. Be sure to join us again to hear the voices of our global PD community in future episodes. You can find episodes and more information at providenceday.org/podcast.